So we saw Gemara last time. Complicated Gemara, but if you have all the pieces clear in your mind, then it's not so complicated, and that's the way to learn this Gemara. We saw a machloikas between Rav Huna and Rav Yechanan. You have psisin and shlemin, which for the moment we're defining as slices versus whole bread. Rav Huna says you make a bracha on the psisin, which Rashi translated means, not that you have to, obviously, but you can make a bracha on the slices, and that will pata the sholim. Rav Yechanan disagreed and said, although it's not mandatory, but it is preferable to make a bracha on the sholim. That was the machlekas. The Gemara then said in conclusion, if, however, the prusa, the slice, is chita, whereas the sholem is sa'ira, then definitely chita would win the day, even though sa'ira is sholem. So what are we being taught over here? That choshuv versus sholem, which wins the day? Choshuv. And the Gemara said there is no discussion about that whatsoever. All opinions agree. All opinions agree that choshuv trumps sholem. All opinions agree that choshuv trumps sholem. It's a very, very important rule. So if we were talking about, until this stage, two breads which were both chita, or two breads which were both sa'ira, therefore there was nothing to distinguish them with regard to choshuv. So what is the only distinguishing factor? It happens to be that one's sholem and one isn't. And that's a discussion. According to Rav Huna, it doesn't really seem to make a difference. You can do what you like. And Rav Yechanan says, no, it's preferable on the sholem. But there is no other chashivas aspect to bring to the table. Whereas when you get to chita or sa'ira, oh, all of a sudden we have a different card. We have a different card on the table, and that's called chashuv. Once chashuv is on the table, game over. Sholem does not get a look in. Now, if you remember, Rashi told us, and in the beginning we didn't know where Rashi gets it from, but at the end of the sugya we think we do now know where he got it from, that when we're talking about psisin and prusa and shlema, we're talking about bread that is the same size. In other words, size, which we'll soon see in the Gemara, translates as choshuv, will once again trump sholem. Therefore, in order to understand this discussion, says Rashi, we're going to have to assume that we're talking about that there is no difference with regard to the size, i.e., the sholem and the psisin are all the same size. There is nothing to distinguish them size-wise, which means that neither of them is more choshev than the other. Therefore, the only solitary card left on the table is what? Which factor? One's sholem and one isn't. And that's a discussion whether that's a factor or not. But the minute you bring size onto the table, in other words, choshev, then it's game over. Now, the Gemara said, one moment, please. Choshev versus sholem, you're telling me that choshev wins the day. Everybody agrees. No discussion whatsoever. What did you mean by that, says the Gemara, there's no discussion? There is a discussion. In fact, it seems to be a machlokes tanoim with regard to
truma.
Because we had over there a sholem, and we have a choshev. Now, where's the choshev onion there? Why was it more choshev, the way Rashi learned? Because it was bigger. Half a big onion, we said, is 250 grams. Initially it was 500 grams, but now it's 250. But it's still bigger than the small onion, which albeit is sholem, but it's only 100 grams. And we had a machlokes, which one do you give to the kohen? Opinion number one, you give the sholem. Opinion number two, you give the half, which is large. So it would seem to be, says the Gemara, that what is the ultimately the machlokes? Choshuv versus sholem. Remember, we're assuming that godel and choshuv, for the moment, is the same thing. Godel is just an example of choshuv. Therefore, why are you telling me that with regard to chita and sa'ira? Once you have chita, it's game over because choshuv always trumps sholem. And everybody agrees to that. What do you mean everybody agrees? That is the Machlokes Tanaim. Do you give the small onion, which is Shalem, or the large onion, which is not Shalem? So the Gemara said, no. You misunderstood. I stick by my guns. Choshev definitely trumps Shalem. And if indeed the Kohen was here, available in front of us, and he was ready to accept his Truma on the spot, which one would you give to him? The Choshev. Which one is that? The large onion, albeit it's not Shalem, no discussion, and therefore I remain with the rule that Choshev trumps Shalem. The reason why there was a discussion about it is because we're talking about where the Kohen was not available. And if the Kohen was not available, then we get involved in a technical discussion. Do you have to be practical? What does that mean, do you have to be practical? The first opinion says there's not much point giving him the large onion, however choshev it is. Why not? Because it's not going to last. It's cut open and it's on its way out. Therefore, you're much better off giving a small onion, because at least it's sholem, it will last. And the other opinion says, no, you still have to give him the large onion. Fine, that's a separate discussion, which has nothing to do with us. It's a technicality in Truma. What do you do when the Truma's going to go off? But when the Kohen's available, and I'm going to give him one of the two onions, all opinions would agree that which is the one you give him, you definitely give him the onion which is choshev, so too, which is bigger, so too with regard to lechem chita v'sa'ira, you definitely make a bracha on the chita. Even though the sa'ira is the sholem, we don't care because I have choshev, which is rivaling the sholem, and choshev wins the day.
We have a couple definitions for choshev floating around now.
So at the moment, yeah. So at the moment, we're making a little bit of an assumption that choshev can either be sa'ira versus chita, chita versus sa'ira. Chita is more choshev, which, by the way, why is chita more choshev than sa'ira? We will see a discussion, either because it's mentioned first in the pasuk, or because it's considered more choshev inherently. Sa'ira, remember we said, is animal fodder. But either way, that's one example of choshev. And then we're seeing that size is also considered choshev. And if you remember, that was actually one of our questions last time, Rav Ram asked it on Tuesday. That we're making a bit of a jump from one to another. The Gemara is getting all upset with Truma because you see that choshev doesn't trump shalim. Beseder, because that's a different type of choshev, that's size. Who says size is so important? But the Gemara for the moment is equating it. And the other point we mentioned last time is we're making another jump, and that is we're jumping from Hilchas Brachas to Hilchas Truma. And we're saying that whatever is the rule in Trumas is the rule in Brachas as well. So we're making one or two assumptions, but that's what it seems to be in the Gemara. Now, we left off right there, and we said last time in conclusion that it seems to be therefore, in the final analysis, or at least at the point that we're holding at the moment, if I were to ask you the following question, choshev versus sholem, what's the halacha? Choshev trumps. According to who?
Everyone.
Sounds like according to everybody. Therefore, when we go back all the way to the beginning of our discussion, I have a slice of bread and I have a whole bread, and there is a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan. Now, lechoira, we do understand what Rashi meant when Rashi said we're talking about two breads of equal size. He said, where did Rashi get that from? Rashi added explicitly, because if, however, one was larger, then what?
Larger.
He definitely make a bracha on the larger. Where do you see that? Where did Rashi make that up from? The answer is he didn't make it up. It seems to be quite apparent from the Hemshech of the Gemara that Choshev trumps Sholem. Yeah, but what's that got to do with size? Well, you see the Gemara attached chashivas to size. So if large means choshev, and if choshev trumps sholem, so put one and one together and you get two. So large trumps sholem. And that's why Rashi said that when, go back to the beginning of the discussion, when Rav Huna told us that you can make a bracha on either one, whatever you want, whether you make a bracha on the slice or on the whole, do whatever you like. So Rashi had to issue a warning. that we're only talking about where you've got two breads of equal size. But if, however, the slice was larger, then what?
Make it a larger slice.
Then absolutely you'd make a bracha on the large one, albeit a slice. That seems to be where Rashi's coming from, and it's pretty straightforward. Now, let's continue the Gemara. As I said, a Gemara like this, you have to be clear every single stage. Let's move on in the Gemara. There's a number of further points that we need to examine before we go back to the previous sugya, before we see Tosfos, before we see the Rishonim. This is a very, very, very big sugya. Says the Gemara. Last word on the third wide line. Omar Rab Nachman Bar Yitzchok. V'yorei Shomayim. Yoitze Yedei Shnehem. If you are a Yorei Shomayim, if you're a God-fearing Jew, you should try and satisfy all opinions. Now, which opinions does that mean? Which machloikas is that referring to? Says Rashi. Let's immediately see Rashi. Yoitze Yedei Shnehem Yedei Machloikas Shel Rav Huna V'Rab Yochanan. In other words, Rashi's telling us that we're going all the way back to the beginning of the sugya, the very opening line. What was the opening line of the sugya? A machlekes between Rav Huna and Rabbi Yochanan, psisin versus shleimin. Rav Huna says, do whatever you like. Rabbi Yochanan says, it's best to make a bracha on a shalim. So we have a machlekes over here. Can you make a bracha on the psisin, or should you really make a bracha on the shalim? So the Gemara is telling us, this is the way that Rashi learns, we'll see whether everybody agrees, that if you want to be a God-fearing Jew, so then I have an eitzah for you to satisfy all opinions. And what is that? Says the Gemara, Umanu, Mar Brei de Ravina. An example of a God-fearing Jew is Mar, the son of Ravina. So Mar Brei de Ravina, do you know what he did? Maniach Pruso. Betoich Hashleimo. What does that mean? Betoich Hashleimo. Tachas. How do you know it means under?
Rashi.
So Rashi says Maniach Pruso Tachas Hashleimo. So either Rashi had a different girsa in the Gemara, or that's the way he translated. But you see, the Rashi adds the word Tachas. So have the Pruso underneath the Shleimo. Uboitzea. So then, which one did you make a bracha on?
Both.
On both. So you've avoided the whole machlekes. Says the Gemara again, Maniach prusa b'toich ha-shleima, put the prusa underneath the shleima, uboitzea, and cut. It doesn't say which one you should cut, by the way, we'll see in Rashi. Toni, tona, kamei, it was learned in front of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Maniach ha-prusa b'toich ha-shleima, uboitzea, umavorech. Yes, that's exactly what you should do. Put the prusa underneath the shleima, make a bracha and cut. Omar lei, so they said to him, wow, ma shimcha, what's your name? Omar lei, Shalmon. What does that mean, Shalmon? Omar lei, Shalom ato. You have a very appropriate name. Your name is similar to the word peace. Why? Because you're making peace. You're making shalom between all the sides. Shalom ato. V'shleimo mishnoscha, and your mishnah, your studying, your learning is also shalom. She'samto shalom bein hatalmidim, because you are putting shalom between the talmidim. In other words, we have a big discussion, and you've come up with an etzah to satisfy all opinions. By the way, we say in davening, talmidei chachomim marbim shalom ba'olam. Talmidei Chachomim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. They bring about peace in the world. So now, at first glance, it seems a staggering thing to say, because Talmidei Chachomim are forever having machlokes about whether you have to make a bracha on a pruso, or on a shalom, or on a choshev. If you're not a Talmud Chachom, then you don't argue about Gemara. Make a bracha on a shalom. Yeah, shalom, couldn't care less. Choshev, choshev, godel, godel, pruso. But if you're Talmud Chachom, what do you mean? You can bracha on the shalim, yayin, shemen, shesisa. Sukkah shigavoya lamala me esrim ama, what is it? Kasha is it? They have machlokes all day long. So what do you mean, marim cholam mashalim ba'ilam? I would say that Talmidei Chachamim, they reduce shalim ba'ilam. They don't increase shalim ba'ilam. There's no more machlokes than between Talmidei Chachamim. They're forever discussing points of learning. So the answer must be that we're obviously mistranslating the word shalim. We translate badly. Shalom means peace. As I once heard from, I think it was Rabbi Leff, in his own typical way, he said, some people think that if you want to achieve shalom bayis, peace in the home, that means there's never a discussion, there is never argument, there's never machloikas, there's never disagreement, absolute calm, absolute total silence. He said, that's not called a home, that's called a graveyard. He said, shalom does not mean there's no disagreement, it doesn't mean there's no machlokes, it doesn't mean there's no understanding and misunderstanding. That's not what shalom means. Shalom is from the word shalom, complete, harmony. That's the real translation of shalom. Shalom does not mean, as we call it, peace, that I'll agree with you. Rather, it means harmony, complete. When you talk about something which is shalem, you talk about it's complete. All the pieces are in place. If two Talmidei Chachamim, or for that matter, husband and wife, have a disagreement, but if it is in the right atmosphere, then that is harmony. They are harmonizing each other, complementing each other. I say yes, you say no, maybe let's try and work it out. Nothing to do with peace or fighting, that's not the discussion. Is there harmony or there's no harmony? Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Of course, having machlokes all day long, but the opposite of shalom is not machlokes. The opposite of milchama, maybe. But the opposite of machlokes is not shalom. Shalom is harmony and complete. This is the way that we discover the MS in Torah. Just like a husband and wife want to discover the MS, what is the real appropriate mode of behavior or conduct or standard for our home, and we might arrive at a conclusion through a discussion and through a disagreement. That's perfect harmony. So too, Talmidei Chachamim have a machlokes. What are they having machlokes about? It's not I'm right, you're wrong, I'm the winner.
They're trying to find the truth.
They're trying to find the MS in Torah, so we're harmonizing each other. And we might have to end up agreeing to disagree. We might end up agreeing. But either way, this is perfect harmony. Why? Because when you have two sides, for example, in a milchama, they are both battling to achieve opposite results. That's what we're trying to do. This country is trying to capture the territory, and the other country, they're trying to capture the territory. Well, they can't both happen. So one or the other will happen. So their end, their tachlis, is the exact opposite of each other. But when Beis Hillel has a machlokes with Beis Shammai, when Abai has a machlokes with Rava, when Rav Huna, Rav Yochanan, they're trying to achieve the same tachlis. Their tachlis is not who can be the winner at the end of the day. It's not two kids playing Monopoly. What is it? We're trying to discover the MS in Torah. That's perfect shalom. That's perfect, unique harmony. That means we are both working together to achieve the same end. It's not peace, that's harmony. If you have a choir, so what are you going to say? Oh, it's a terrible choir. Terrible, terrible choir. Why is that? Well, they weren't all singing the same notes. They were going high and they were going low. That's called harmony. That's called harmony because the harmony, the lower harmony, the upper harmony, they're all coming to achieve the same end, which is produce the most magnificent sound. Happens to be, we go about it different ways. The one who's a baritone will go about it in a lower harmony, and the one who's a tenor will go about it in a higher voice, etc., etc., etc. But we're going about it, although in different ways, but for the exact same tachlis. That's called shalom. Very, very important to know. Very, very important to know. Very, very, very important to know. There's very, very often disagreement. Very often misunderstanding. Oh, why is there so much machlokes between Rabbonim and between Gedolim? Why? Have you ever heard this ridiculous statement? for the sake of Sholem, why can't they put their disagreements aside? It's the most ridiculous thing to say. That's like saying, for the sake of Sholem, can't all the members of the choir just sing the same note? For the sake of Sholem, can't the orchestra just play the same instrument and finished? Well, so you have to play the drums, you have to play the piano, you have to play the trumpet, you have to play the violin, you have to play the viola. For the sake of Sholem, what's that got to do with Sholem? Sholem means harmony. They are harmonizing. It's the most beautiful harmony possible. Nothing to do with machloikas or different agendas over here. We all have the same agenda. Talmidei Chachamim Marabim Sholem Ba'olam. They are all working in tandem and in harmony to produce the same result, which is discovering the MS of Torah. Simple as that. Okay, back to our story. Now, look at Rashi, and there is, l'chaira, a very, very basic question that must be asked. Look at Rashi. Yoitze yidei shneiem yidei machleikas shel Rav Huna v'Rav Yechanan. So Rashi tells us that yidei shneiem, who is the shneiem over here, the two sides, are Rav Huna and Rav Yechanan. If you want to satisfy both opinions, Maniach pruso tachas ashlema, v'nimtzu shteyen biyodoi. Therefore, it turns out that both of them are now in his hand. Therefore, he isn't making a bracha over one versus the other. Rather, he's making a bracha over both of them. Uboitzeya, and then you will cut. What will you cut from?
Two.
Whatever you like. Oy mishteyen, oy min hashlema. Whatever you want. I don't really mind. The main thing is you made a bracha over both. Now, there is a very, very big question that L'chaira needs to be asked. In fact, it's such a big question that on a simple level, the Gemara doesn't seem to make any sense whatsoever. What is the basic question that needs to be asked? What was the machlekes, the initial machlekes between Rav Huna and Rav Yechanan? What did Rav Huna say you have to do? Sisin versus Shleimin. What did he say?
Whatever you want.
Either one.
Whatever you want. Okay. What did Rabbi Yechanan say?
Shleimin.
Preferable. Didn't say you have to, but preferable to make it Shleimin. Okay. So machlekes. Can you choose and do whatever you like, or should you make it the bracha over the Shleimin? So now, if I were to ask you, do you have a way of satisfying both opinions, what would you say? Before the Gemara comes up with this whole Eitz, if I were to ask you, I'd like to satisfy both opinions, what would you say?
Shlema.
Why Shlema?
That satisfies both.
Why is that satisfying both opinions?
Rav Huna agrees, but either way.
Right! If Rav Huna would say, Dafka Psisin, and Rabbi Yochanan would say, Dafka Shlema, well then we have a head-on collision. So I don't really have a way of satisfying both opinions. So what does the Gemara say? I do. What shall I make a bracha on, A or B? The answer is both. But Rav Huna never said you have to make a bracha over Psisin. What did Rashi say? That what did he mean? Imreitze, if you want. So according to Rav Huna, is there anything wrong in making a bracha over the Shlema?
No.
Absolutely nothing wrong. And Rabbi Yechanan says, not only is there nothing wrong, it's preferable. Wonderful, so make a bracha on the Shlema. Bob's your uncle, everybody's happy now. So what's the Gemara mean? Yorei Shemayim, Yetzi Shemayim. It's a kind of business. Have to now hold both and cut both. I don't understand, what's the whole discussion? They were only arguing about, can you do either or Shlema? But the Machlokes was never Psisin versus Shlema. So why do we have to look for some sort of compromise? Why do we have to look for a way of being Yetzi Yidei Shneim? Did anybody have this question on the Gemara? Rav Nachum, did you have a sleepless night last night thinking about this? Or were you worried about your knife? And about strange emails you got from me?
No, I did not think about the question.
You didn't think about the email, just about the question. This question didn't bother you, Rav Avram. You weren't pacing up and down Nachal Abasar 4 in the morning thinking about this. Rosh Zelig, how's your electricity doing?
Don't ask.
Yeah, ever back?
Yeah, temporarily.
Sometimes. No, it's a huge question. How can the Gemara say a Yorei Shomayim, I have an Eitzah for you to be Yetzah all opinions? What do you mean? There's no machloikas, essentially. Rav Huna just says you can choose whatever you want, either Psisin or Shleima. And Rav Yechon says Shleima. Fine, so do Shleima and everybody's happy.
It's to deal with that person who wants to make the bracha over the Psisin.
Why would you want to? But that's nothing to do with Yorei Shomayim. That's nothing to do with Yorei Shomayim. That's to satisfy somebody who's, for some reason, has it in his head that he wants to make a bracha on Psisin. But he's worried about Rabbi Yochanan. Fine, so to make a bracha on both. But if the only thing that's concerning you is Yira Shomayim, that I don't want to make a mistake, say this, so make a bracha on the Shleim one, and you're covered by all opinions.
Question on Rashi.
Question on Rashi. So we'll have to bear that question in mind, and we'll see whether throughout the course of the sugya with the Rishonim, that question will be answered. Okay, back into the Gemara. Omar HaPapa. Now, we're veering off a little bit, but I think it's Kedai because it really is all connected. Omar HaPapa. Hakoil Moedim. All opinions agree, when it comes to Pesach, Shemaniach Pruso Betoich Shleimo Uboitzea. Now we know that once you've done yachatz, you've broken the middle matzah, so you have a pruso and you have a shleimo. You have a pruso and you have a shleimo. So now, what brocha, what should I make the brocha over the pruso, or should I make it over the shleimo? So I might be excused for thinking, ah, this is the good old machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yechanan. And that's why the Gemara says, no it isn't. Hakol moedim, over here there's no discussion. Everybody agrees that what? That the Eitzah that we just mentioned before, that to make the bracha over both is what you must do when it comes to Pesach. Why must you do that? Says the Gemara, my timer, lechem, oini, ksiv. What does that mean, lechem, oini, ksiv? Poor man's bread, as Rashi points out to us, it's quoting Gemara, the derech of an oni is to have broken bread. So over here, it's not just optional, you have to make the bracha over the prusa as well. I've got to make a bracha on the shalim, I can't just ignore the shalim. I've got to make a bracha over the lechem oini. Says Rashi, lechem oini ksev, v'darkoi shal oni, and the way of a poor person is the prusa. Lefichach tzarech sheyire yiroe. Therefore, it has to be clearly recognizable kebeitzeya min haprusa, that you are being beitzeya from the prusa as well. Therefore, you can't just abandon that. Okay, that's a Pesach discussion. We'll see. That will also be discussed later on. There's a whole lengthy tosis, the bottom tosis in the omelet. Says the Gemara, that's Pesach. Now we move on to Shabbos. Ube Shabbos chayev odom livtsoya al shtei kikarois. There is a massive discussion. Halacha lemaisa. What does this try? What does this mean? What does it mean? You have to be beitseya al shtei kikarois. We've always translated beitseya means what? Cut. So it sounds like you have to cut two breads. Says the Gemara, my timer. Lechem Mishneh Ksiv. Because you have to have a double portion. Double bread. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Ashi, Chazina Leila Rav Kahana. I saw Rav Kahana, Denokit Tarti. He held to, in other words, both of the Lechem Mishneh, but Ubotza Choda. You only cut one. Now what does he mean to say by that? Does he mean to say that that disagrees with what we just said before? Before we said, you have to cut both. Is he saying, I'm sorry to tell you, I actually saw Rav Kahana only cut one? Or it doesn't mean to say that's a machlokes. He means to say that that what was meant in the first place. When we said you have to cut over both challahs, we don't mean you have to cut both, you have to hold both.
Right. Cut one.
But you cut one. Okay. Rav Zeira. It's a big machlokas, by the way. big machlokes, the famous Rashba, we'll see, is Bu'ala Chalamaisa, where there's an Indian to cut both challahs or not for Friday night. In Ikra Adin, we paskin, you only have to cut one. Which one? Top one or bottom one?
Friday night,
bottom one. All other meals, including Yom Tov, even at night, top one. Kabbalistic reasons. Okay. Rabbi Zeira, have a botza akula sheirusa. What does it mean akula sheirusa? He would cut over kula sheirusa. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Akula sheirusa prusa gedoila. He would cut such a large slice sheyedailoi that it would suffice for him lakol hasauda b'shabbos. He wouldn't just cut a small, flimsy slice. He would cut such a large slice that would suffice for the whole meal. Now, we're not being told why he's doing it. Not only are we not told why he's doing it, the Gemara now queries, how can you do it? Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi, said Ravina to Rashi, I don't understand. V'hokom ischazi, he appears k'Rav Sanusa. What does Rav Sanusa mean? Rav Sanusa, the sheirish of the word is ro'ev. Ro'ev means hungry. If you cut such a large slice, it sounds like you're starving hungry, haven't eaten in 6 weeks, it looks very greedy. Well, why are you cutting such a large slice for? We were always taught at home. Pour the drinks on Friday night at home, the father always got upset if you had filled the cup more than about two-thirds full. If you're thirsty, then you can fill it up again afterwards. You have to fill the cup so this mamusha havdala overflowing all sides. Fill the cup half full. If you want some more, you can have some more. So why are you taking a whole slice? Enough for the whole meal. It's like, half a challah, a third of a challah. It looks like Rav Sanusa. It looks like he's starving hungry. It's not good manners. Amale, he said, no, it doesn't appear that way. Why? Interesting svara. Kiv and the kol yoima loika ovid hochi. Because every single day he didn't do this. This wasn't a regular procedure. He only did this on Shabbos. So because on a regular day he didn't do it. V'ho'idna ka'ovid. What does ho'idna mean? And he only did that on this day. Therefore, lo mischazi k'rav sanusa. That he doesn't look greedy. If he really was greedy, then what?
Do it every day.
Do it every day. But if he only does it today, now we're beginning to understand. So why is he doing it after all? Obviously, it's not because it's greedy, but rather...
Covered
Shabbos. We want to show that on Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, we have plenty of food. We're not trying to cut any corners. If you do this every day, then what? Oh, then it'll show you're greedy. So you're taking such a massive slice for bit by bit. But if I don't do it every day, but I go out of my way to do it only on Shabbos, there's no concern of looking like a person who is greedy, because it's clearly recognizable that Shabbos is different. And why is it different? Covered Shabbos. Okay, now the last halacha on the Omud, which is also a huge discussion. Maybe we'll get involved in it, but much, much later. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Both Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Ki hava misrami lehu. The Yud is also a reference to the margin over here. The Maromokim. Why is it in brackets? Because it's not so clear what's discussed over there. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Ki, what does ki mean? Like next week's parasha. Ki seitse, when? Ki hava misrami lehu. When they would chance upon. Rifta de'eriva. What's the translation of the word rifta? Bread. If they would ever chance upon erevin bread. What's erevin bread?
Chatzeris.
You made erev chatzeris, you have to put out a bread. So if ever that bread came to hand, they would make a bracha over it. What does that mean? Of course, can't eat it without making a bracha. What's the more telling me?
Especially the cherries. We use it to grow the mitzvah.
Which mitzvah? Erev Chatzeris. What's the second mitzvah? But even if it wasn't an Erev, you have to make a bracha over it. Whatever it is, whether it's an Erev or not, you always have to make a bracha over it. There's no such thing as eating bracha, as eating... What it means to say is, instead of letting just the bread rot or going to animals, he dafka wanted to make a bracha over it. What was the beginning to make a bracha over it? So he explained. Omri, they said, right, with the yud at the end, it doesn't say Omar, it says Omri. They said, Hoyel v'isyavid bei mitzvah chada, since this was used for one mitzvah, Na'avid bay, we will do with it mitzvah achriti. In other words, when I want to make a bracha over a bread, it's a mitzvah, a kind of mitzvah, which mitzvah making a bracha? So I've got a choice. I can either make a bracha over a standard piece of bread or over a mitzvah bread. What's a mitzvah bread? A mitzvah bread, for example, is a bread that was used for an Erev. So I prefer to make a bracha over a mitzvah bread. If it was used for one mitzvah, I want to use it for another mitzvah. This has many, many ramifications. The most common ramification is Erev Tavshilin.
Like Shal Shiris, like is whether they use the kos for Abdallah?
If you bench over the kos, you're saying, right? So I'm saying, if Shal Shiris, that's where it's clearly brought, and you've got Erev Tavshilin, when Yom Tov falls on Erev Shabbos, so therefore instead of just consuming the Erev Tavshilin at any given Suda, we prefer to use that for Lecha Mishmah. If it was used for one mitzvah, i.e. Erev Tavshilin, now let's use it for another mitzvah of Shalosh Shudos or Lecha Mishmah. It's a very, very, very common discussion. Now, I'll just leave you with a question, and then we've got other business to be getting on with. Let me ask you a question. Friday night, you make your bracha over two challahs. Why two? As we just mentioned before, Lecha Mishnah. Now let's assume you only consume one challah. That's the norm. You have one bread per meal. I took two because of mitzvah Lecha Mishnah. I don't need to eat two. The next morning comes the Shabbos day. I've got to make a bracha on Lecha Mishnah again. Would you agree or would you not agree that when I'm choosing my two challahs for the morning, would it be recommendable to use the challah that I used from last night as my second challah today? And apply the same principle that because it was used once, not just for eating, but for the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah, let's use it again for a mitzvah, based on the principle we just saw in the Gemara, that we like to pile up mitzvahs, and if it was used for one mitzvah, then we use it for a second mitzvah. And if you want to continue the discussion, same thing would be applicable at Shalosh Shudos as well. I've got to make Lecha Mishnah for a third time. So why don't I use the challah that I was making a bracha on in the morning, which perhaps is the challah I made a bracha on at night. Is that a third time? Or not? A bit of a discussion. But it is Megeh many places. Mishabura, for example, talks about in Hilchos Chanukah that if you want to choose your wicks for the menorah, so we would all think, what's the best wick to take? Brand new, fresh, spanking wick from the box. Says Mishabura, no, it's not the best wick. Best wick to take is go to the shul where they light candles. We don't light candles, but the minig used to be light candles in shul. And take the wick from there and use that for your Hanukkah candles. Why? It's second hand. Yeah, that's a milah. It's not a chisaron. Why is it a milah? Because if it is used once for a mitzvah, which mitzvah? Of lighting up the Beis HaKnesses, now use that for your Ner Hanukkah. So second hand, we don't view as a chisaron. To the contrary, it's absolutely a milah. Has many, many ramifications. Okay.
So what's the answer to the challah?
The answer to the challah might be, and I'm quoting my dear brother in Manchester, who once wrote a whole shtickle Torah about this, and he wanted to suggest, although it turned out that it seems to be a machlokes, that the principle of one mitzvah and then a second mitzvah is only when it's two different mitzvahs. but not when you're repeating the same mitzvah over again. So if I use it for Lecha Mishnah last night, to use it again for Lecha Mishnah this morning is perhaps no maila. But if it was used for Erevin and now for Lecha Mishnah, or initially for Beis HaKnesses and now for Chanukah, or initially for Erev Tavshilin and now Lecha Mishnah, so I'm now expanding it, different mitzvah, not just the same mitzvah again. And the logic of Eira is quite plausible. What's the whole point? You say, oh wow, I'm going to use mitzvah bread. It's anyway mitzvah bread, it's Lecha Mishnah bread. You're making it now, Lecha Mishnah. So what's its prestige? But if it's Erev Tavshinim bread, oh, I'm making my Lecha Mishnah not out of stam bread, but out of Erev Tavshinim. I'm piling up the mitzvahs over here. Lakoponim, we discussed this many years ago when we came to the conclusion it seems to be a big machlokes where that's true, and it's based on the whole logic behind this principle. It's not our discussion, at least for the moment. We have much, much, much work to be getting on. Okay, so let's briefly summarize the sugya. Now, the main part of the sugya, as you've all obviously detected, is of course the first part with regard to this sholem versus choshev discussion. And we launched off a bit into Pesach, Shabbos and Lecha Mishnah. We saw a number of halachas. But we need to get back to our subject. Our subject was really, and that's the main noisei of this sugya, is it seems to be in the final analysis, this is where Rashi learns, that certainly Choshev trumps Sholem. If Choshev is not a factor, and I have Sholem versus Prusa, that is the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yochanan. And the Gemara says, if you want to avoid the machlokes, you make a bracha on both. That's what seems to be emerging from our sugya. Now, the first thing I think we should do is, before we see the Tosfos in, is if you remember, in the last sugya, look back at the Gemara Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph on the first wide line. Omar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi, Rav Chiya Ba'ashi says, Pas Tznuma. What's Pas Tznuma? It's a prusa. It's a dry slice of bread. So Rav Chiya Ba'ashi says, Mavarachin Oleh HaMayit, to make a bracha on it. Upliga de Rav Chiya, but that disagrees with Rav Chiya. In other words, Rav Chiya Ba'ashi is disagreeing with Rav Chiya. Why? Because you remember Rav Chiya's rule? The Amar Rav Chiya, Tzarech Shetich Le Bracha Im HaPas. He says you have to finish the bracha over a complete slice. And if you've already sliced it, look at Rashi, Tzarech Shetich Le. You've got to finish Birkas HaMoitzi Im Prisas HaPrusa, together with slicing the Prusa, but Min HaPas. But Vahai, but this particular piece that we're talking about is Porus V'Oimeid. What does that mean, Porus V'Oimeid? It stands sliced already. And now the Gemara had a whole discussion. So now, one second, something doesn't seem to make sense. Why not? What's the Gemara saying? The first opinion says you make a bracha, no problem, over a tznuma. Says the Gemara, yeah, but Rav Chiya disagrees. Why does Rav Chiya disagree? So what does it sound like? That what does Rav Chiya hold? You've got to make a bracha over a sholem. When you finish the bracha, then you cut. If you remember, the Gemara didn't like it. What's the point of finishing the bracha as you cut it? At the end of the day, when the bracha was completed, it's still sliced. The Gemara says, fine, if you push it off even further. You make a bracha, and then you cut. So it sounds like, as if to say, there is a discussion, do you make a bracha on a slice of bread? That's what it sounds like. And it sounds like Rav Chiya is of the opinion that you never make a bracha on a slice of bread. Maybe on a slice of anything. But certainly with regard to bread, you only make a bracha on a sholem. That's the last sugya. Now, in light of our new sugya of the Gemara we've just learned, we all see that that cannot be the case. Why can't that be the case? Because we've got a whole discussion with us. Do you make a bracha over the psisin? Do you make a bracha over the shleima? Nobody told us, excuse me, you're not allowed to make a bracha over a prusa. Nobody said that. Of course you're allowed to make a bracha over a prusa. Of course you're allowed to make a bracha over a prusa. The question was, you have prusa versus a shleimah. Maybe it's preferable to make a bracha on the shleimah. Maybe yes, maybe not. Rav Huna says you can do what you like. Rav Yechanan says over the shleimah. But nobody said that there's some sort of rule that you mustn't make a bracha on a prusa. So what's the Gemara talking about on Amud Tes Amud Aleph? Once you get to Amud Beis, then Amud Aleph makes no sense. So look at the bottom Tosfos. Ve'em Toima. Yeah, you got the bottom Tosfos? Yeah, past Snuma, Bekara, Mavorach, Nalam, Waitzi, Lechem, and Ored, so Pliga, Dura, Bechia. Says Tosfos, I don't really understand. Ve'em Toima. Heichi, Mairi. What does that mean, Heichi, Mairi? What are we dealing with? What are we discussing about? When we're talking about making a bracha on the slice or not making a bracha on the slice, what is exactly the discussion? Im yesh shleima lefonov. Are we talking about where there is a shleima in front of him as well? Then what? Ha omrinon besomach. Then all opinions would agree. Now we have to see what that means. It's not all opinions. It's at least only Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan would say that the Shlema is Odif. But everybody agrees you can make a bracha over the Shlema. So how can the Gemara say that what? That you make a bracha over the past Snuma, which means a Prusa. If there's also a Shlema there, then what should you maybe be making a bracha on? The Shlema. And if you're talking about that there is only a tsunuma, what does that mean? There is only a slice and there is no shalem. So heichi poligoleo rabchia. So how can rabchia disagree? What's rabchia saying? That you don't make a bracha over a slice? A mafura shagamara. The maskana of our Gemara in Daf Lamed Zayin on the base is pirurin slices. Afal pishoim ben kezayis mevorachin ole hamaytzi hoyel veisbu tarisa denaham. If it has the appearance of bread, nobody ever queried making a bracha over a slice of bread. Therefore, says Tosfos, I don't understand. Mimon avshach. What are we dealing with? How many breads has he got in front of him? If he's got two, then what bracha should he be making over which? Over the shalim. And if he's only got one at Snumos, what are you telling me? What, you don't make a bracha over a slice? For a shigamari, make a bracha over a slice. What's going on? V'yesh loyma. Of course we're dealing with there is another bread in front of him. In other words, if there were to only be a slice, then what? Of course you make a bracha on that. How can you say Rav Chiya disagrees? No such thing. There's always a lot of places for a teretz. Im toima, v'yesh loyma. Im toima is the question, v'yesh loyma is the answer. We're dealing with when there is a shleima in front of him. So what's he got in front of him? A prusa and a shleima. So this sounds like our good old discussion on Amud Beis. Ubotza minatsnumo, and he made a cut in the slice. Reb Chiya ba'ashi sova dahava. It now is considered like a sholem me'acher shei chaviva. Oh, we're bringing in a brand new discussion. He made a slice in the slice. He cut the slice. So what is he clearly demonstrated by that?
Like
that for some reason he has a chavivus. What does a chavivus mean? A preference to the tsnuma. So maybe that adopts sholem status now. it compensates for the fact that it's not Sholem, and it has something else going for it. What is that? Chaviv. That is the first opinion in the Gemara. The first opinion in the Gemara says that what? You should therefore continue and make a brach over which one? Over the Tznuma. The Gemara, and I'm a base talking about, I have a slice, I have a full bread, I haven't touched them yet. Here we're dealing with, I've got a slice and a shalim, and I made a cut into the slice. Oh, so you've shown that what? That the slice is the chaviv. That's why the first opinion says, keep going, because that's all basically is considered like a shalim now. The Rav Chiya Sveir le'da, no. Tzarech shetichle, brochim, apas, etc., 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 etc. Fine if you make a brocha over the shalim. So therefore, this Tosas we saw, by the way, last month. In other words, the discussion in the Gemara in the Flamet Tes Amud Aleph is not Chas v'Shalom, do you make a bracha over a slice of bread? It's a Mefurush Gemara, we learned it together in the Flamet Zayin, about the Psisim Sheim Ben Kazayis. We can really add, from our whole discussion, you also see the same, that it's perfectly valid to make a bracha. That's not the discussion. What is the discussion according to Tosfos? I've got a shalim in front of me, I've got a prusa in front of me, and I made an incision, a cut into the prusa. So I've shown that it's choviv. Ah, what do you do? Choviv versus shalim. A brand new competition. We've seen until now choshuv versus shalim. Godoil versus Sholem, which we said is the same thing, and now Chaviv versus Sholem. Apparently, you've got a Chavivus for this slice of bread for whatever happens. Whatever, I don't know why you want this slice. I don't want a massive piece of bread. I want a slice, modest piece. That's the Machlokes in the Gemara, which one should make a bracha. Now that you've demonstrated that the Pusa is Chaviv, so the first opinion says, fine, let's make a bracha. Second one says, no, make it over the shoulder. Now, if you look at the sheets, we have to stop over here, but if you look at the sheets, you'll see, I think it's number one, the Rashba, he also discusses this question, and Be'ez Hashem on Sunday morning will begin with that Rashba. Is it like, you have the Marmar Kiyomis in front of you? I think the Rashba begins with that. Pasat Snuma, right, he's going with, on that discussion, and he also says, Ikulamedek, hey Chidomi, what are we talking about? There is a slice, there is a shalim, there's no, what's going on? He discussed it, and we'll see, he goes with a similar line to Tosfos, but it's not exactly the same. So that's where we'll start. We'll start Mitzvah Hashem on Sunday with Rashba. That's first. Then before we see number two, we'll start looking at these Tosfos in Lamed Tes on this.